Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This is the April 15th edition of Commodity Week. A Goldman Sachs says, I'm out. Soybeans put in an outside down week. And the price of corn settles above the price of wheat? What does it all mean? We'll try to figure it out today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Illinois ag economist Daryl Good. Our panelists in studio today include Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting from Lafayette, Indiana, Kurt Kimball of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Hey, do remember the Commodity Week in programming from Illinois Public Media is sponsored in part by, well, you, our listeners, to the tune of about 40%. Our budget has to be in the bank by the time we get to the new fiscal year. That's all the money we'll have for next year, and it makes a big difference if you dial in with your pledge of support right now at 217-244-9455. If you're listening online, you can go to willpledge.org or willag.org. At willag, up in the right-hand corner is that nice little red button. Just hit pledge. Either way, $120 is a great pledge. More is fantastic. Less is perfectly fine. Just make sure you do call. And today, we're under a challenge from Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. Chuck Shelby and Company will put an extra $500 in our kitty if 50 of you call over the two-week period. We're working towards that one today. 217-244-9455 is the number to call. Again, in studio with us today to take a look at the commodity markets are from Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana, Mike Zuzulo, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from New Market, Indiana, and Kurt Kimball of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Kurt, why is it that the trade finally decided to pay attention to the lead of Goldman Sachs this week?
Well, I guess the new motto when Goldman Sachs talks, everybody listens. But, you know, when you got guys making $24 million a year on bonuses, it's kind of impressive. They don't quite pay that good at Bates, but we'll suck up to them. It's kind of saying buy low, sell high, and the market is probably a little rich. If you look at the price of crude oil and corn, what it's done here over the last few months, it's at levels that warrants maybe moving some money to undervalued funds. But I think they were misunderstood as a whole there from the point was short term. Long term, 12 months out, they're still optimistic.
E.F. Hutton wasn't too big to disappear. So, all right, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana.
Well, I think that number one, when they did exit the market, they did with they had great length and it did take a lot out of the market, number one. Number two, I think there were a lot of people that this market had done nothing but go up and they were ready to take some profits and bank it because commodity fund traders only get to collect money when they bank the money. That's another thing. And I think that another reason was a lot of people would like to see this market set back a little bit to be able to get long again.
And Mike Zuzulo.
I think it might have given us an opportunity in our marketing plan and in our hedge plan for 2011, Todd. I think that the between the Goldman news and the United States talking about a debt ceiling and not raising that and getting more austere, and we see more interest rate hikes in some of these emerging markets, I think the trade, the fund investment trade in general, is seeing maybe an end of that loose global monetary policy, and that maybe will temper the commodity buying enthusiasm down the road here. So if you would happen to see the dollar find a bottom, the equities find a top, and interest rates start to go higher, how do you work that in your marketing plan? How do you protect prices? And I think that's what I took away from this past week was, what am I going to do if those three trends that we've seen in the last year and a half reverse themselves, because we do start to see a lot more tightening by the world's central banks?
Hey, Wayne, am I hearing from you that you feel like there's still more upside, quite a little bit more upside in this marketplace?
I think there is some more upside, Todd. We haven't seen the rationing really take place in the old crop corn like we really need to bring things in here. We are seeing some rationing because the ethanol use will go down as the consumption of gasoline goes down, because we blend 10% in, and if we cut back 3 to 5% on how much gasoline is used, we're going to cut back 3 to 5% on the amount of ethanol used too. So we still have to get to a point. It's going to be a run up, and there'll be a day when export business will sort of dry up at a certain level, whether it's $8, whether it's $7.75, or where it's at, but it will have to go a little bit higher to do that.
And if I caught this correctly, Mike, you're a little further down the road on this part of whether we've started to ration and whether the market's going to turn lower. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the market has started to ration in corn. The question is, have we rationed enough, because the supply is a moving target so much right now. So I do see some energy rationing. We did see a build in ethanol stocks by about 500,000 barrels. At the exact same week, we've had 6 weeks in a row now of declining consumption for unleaded gasoline, and we're down about 3% year to date. So I do think we're starting. I think Wayne's got a real valid point, though. Are we there yet? I don't think anybody can say right now. We may not be there yet, but I think we're starting.
And tiebreaker?
Well, I guess I'll take the middle of the road here.
Okay.
But I think there's still some upside potential. Definitely seasonally, on the 15-year seasonal trend, we move a little lower into April. We have a little spurt in May, but I think it's going to have to be weather-driven. As far as rationing is taking place. Livestock producers worked on their feed rations. Like you said, gasoline consumption is a concern there. Then plus, too, you got to remember, this bull market's been alive since clear back last summer. And these companies have smart money managers now, and they're somewhat hedged or forward covered here one way or another. Yeah, we'll ration that last bushel, and we'll have a contest to who sells at the high. But for the most part, as a producer, I feel our risk is to the downside from here on out.
May corn this week, a high price at $7.83¾, a low at $7.39½, settled at $7.42, 26 cents lower from the previous week. December corn up 3 cents at $6.56. I want to put the wheat numbers here as well. May contract a $7.30 high, or rather low. The high there was at $8.09¼, and the May wheat settled at $7.44¼. It was down 53¾, and that settlement price just 2¼ above the May corn. July futures at $7.80, down 52¼. There was a time this week that corn futures were above the wheat futures in that nearby contract.
Yeah, corn's taken over leadership. The urgency's been in the corn here. However, though, here, technically on the corn, like you mentioned there, we made a new high for the week and closed lower for the week, and the momentum indicators are starting to roll over, so it'll be a question of whether we can maintain that enthusiasm.
Wayne Nelson, in the last USDA report, they made a great deal, although the numbers didn't quite show this, about potential for feeding wheat in the summer months. Is that going to happen?
Well, I think we've already started feeding wheat, and we're going to see more wheat being fed as long as the corn stays up here, and the wheat does lag behind. The feed wheat is cheaper to put in the ration, and it has good protein and going on that way. I think the one thing that bothered us with the report was we said we were going to feed wheat instead of corn, but we didn't take the extra usage and put it on the wheat balance sheet, and that's why a lot of people are upset with the government report.
You know, that wheat-corn spread's an interesting one, because back in 96, that was the last time, I think it was around June, July, somewhere around there of 96, that the corn went premium to the wheat, Todd. But by the end of 96, of July of 96, I should say, we were back premium to the wheat again. And for that big, big corn rally that we had in 96, wheat was back in charge and leading us higher. So I think that sets up nicely for this year. And I think that's where USDA's baseline number of wheat was 45.2 bushels. That's coming off that February number. I think there's been enough damage and the crop conditions are poor enough and we've got enough issues out there in the southern plains that that 45 number is too high. So what do we look for? We look for a yield reduction in May, I think.
So wait a second. You are feeling like the corn market might roll over yet.
No, I think the wheat it still needs to lead the corn higher. If you want an 8 in front of the corn, you need the wheat to help it.
And wait a second, because up front I thought you were feeling a little more to the bearish side of the corn market as opposed to the bullish side. Which is it today?
The rationing has started.
Okay.
But has it been enough? I don't know because of the supply side's still a moving target.
And then if we get the wheat to come up, you're gonna follow the corn higher.
Exactly.
All right, okay. I'm all good with that. Anybody else want to jump in here?
Well, I guess it could go up or go down.
Okay. Soy complex, May beans, $14.06, the high, low at 13.16.5, and a settlement price at 13.31¾, down 60.5 from last week. November beans at $13.39¾. They were down 56¼ cents. And on the weekly charts, we'll start with you, Mike Zuzel. They put in an outside down week. What do you make of that one?
Yeah, I think that what I took away from both the beans and the wheat, because they both saw an outside week down, yet corn held its lows on the weekly chart. It's going to be hard for the corn to continue to fight the wheat and the beans, and it really needs the beans on its side at this point.
Are beans ready to move lower?
Well, Todd, I mean, like we said, the technical picture looks a little weak. The Chinese have backed out of the market. They're trying to see if they can't push this market a little lower. They're trying to keep things under control as far as their bean oil on their processors and the way their price controls are over there. And they would love to see something go down. We also saw today that they did buy some new crop beans, looking ahead to the smaller acreage possibly being planted by the big advantage that corn has. So they are already stepping into new crop, but they have canceled a lot of beans out of South America.
I think it depends a lot on the weather. We get the corn in the ground here in a timely fashion. I think you're going to see corn or acres pick up a little bit more at the expense of beans. Plus, two, we're wrapping up the southern hemisphere's harvest in through here, and I think they'll come back to the U.S. And down the road here, as we move more into the summertime window, I think beans could start to take over leadership or be the supportive market.
Any reason really to talk about planting progress at this point? We're very early in the stage of the game. There are some talking about the northern parts of the United States, but it's pretty early.
Tennessee guys have already started to tell me that they're ready to switch to beans if they haven't had the chemicals down because they see the water still coming and they don't want to mess up on their yield. So they're already starting to itch a little early about shifting, and I found that as very interesting.
Is that in part because they can make as much money
the revenue's
after,
there.
After they've locked it in on crop insurance?
Right? Well, that and the revenue's there. They just want good yields this year. I think that's what the producers want at this point. They want a good, strong yield because both prices are there right now.
Mm-hmm. What's everybody feeling about marketing new crop corn and soybeans? We'll start with you, Kurt, and see where you stand at this point.
Well, I think the risk is to the downside here. I see no reason to be 100% covered in some type of option strategy. I know it's awful hard to sell cash grain here due to the fact that guys sold a lot too early in the previous year and they're kind of gun-shy. But as a producer, I feel the risk is to the downside. If you do sell cash, I think you can replace ownership on paper.
I'd agree with Kurt in the respect that we've been fairly aggressive at selling over $6 cash corn for fall. And I think that along the way, if you are scared, if you went over 30% sold, that we're looking at the $7, $8 bull call spreads, and that would be something just to replace it with if you feel scared.
I'm concerned in the short term, Todd, that if the wheat and the beans go another week lower, then the corn won't be able to fight that. So I'll probably recommend more puts. I'm going to stay very close to the vest and not want to sell much cash at this point.
Anything in the marketplace this week that really surprised you, Mike, as you were watching the movements?
I think the thing that surprised me was the fact that the trade did take the Goldman information at face value, but I think it was prime for something to make it move anyway. And when it came to the copper was down 5.5% this week. When it came to the gold and when it came to the crude oil, the gold, though, on Friday made new all-time highs, so I think it recovered nicely.
I think it's just the reality. We're in the hands of the speculative trade in here. Those guys got $50 million to $1 billion behind them, these traders. They push a button, they can move the market in a hurry. We saw corn move up $1.50, down $1.20, back up $1.50, and we really did not see open interest go down. So we still have a huge amount of speculative interest in this marketplace yet.
I'd have to agree with Kurt. I think that the lack of news and just what used to be a non-market force making a comment seemed to move the market as much as it did. But not a lot of market news out there this week.
Tell me more about the crude oil market. It made it was moving sharply again higher this week. Is there room for that market to go up higher, and will it drag corn with it?
That's a good question, Todd, because if we look at the fundamentals, it's really overpriced right now. While the stocks are there, we're not using as much. Libya is still shipping oil, which they talk that they aren't, and they're scared and whatever. And this is more feared and speculative driven, and we're probably overpriced right now for fundamentals.
You agree with him?
For the U.S. picture here, domestic, yes. As far as Asia go, that's where the bulk of your demand is still showing up there. So we've got to keep an eye on the Asian market here to justify crude oil moving up to the $120, $125 area.
Yeah, I think Kurt's right on. That Asian market's key at this point.
You're listening to Commodity Week. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. If you get the opportunity, dial this number, 217-244-9455. Back in just a few minutes, and we'll talk with ag economist Daryl Good.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Hey, Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media, and that means it's publicly funded. If you have been waiting to make a phone call, probably now's a really good time to do that. At 217-244-9455 to pledge your financial support to this radio station. If you do, the folks at Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana will help us out. They put an extra $500 in the kitty for WILL. Actually, most of our analysts have managed to help us out all week long and do that because, well, they believe in this service and they believe it helps you to market their programs. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities. He helped us out, and Bates Commodities did earlier in the week. Thank you so much for that time.
Well, we enjoy it, Todd. We really feel it's worthwhile.
And Mike Zuzolo was here with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting on Friday afternoon and morning, and I know we picked up $500 from you. Thank you.
No better service to give to at this point, Todd.
And thank you so much to everybody who has called in at 217-244-9455 with your pledge of financial support. If you haven't done that, there are some really good reasons to do it. One of them is because the service is funded by you in large part. 40% of the operating budget for Illinois Public Media does come from our listeners, folks like you. And if you help us out, that means we can continue to do the job. We'd like you to do that at $120 level. Less is fine. More is fantastic. But either way, it's pretty quick and simple and easy to do. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. Just dial in at 217-244-9455 or hit willpledge.org, willag.org, and pledge your financial support to this radio station and Illinois Public Media for Commodity Week. Commodity Week is our weekly look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural markets. We'll be back in just a few moments with ag economist from the University of Illinois, Daryl Good.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This is the April 15th edition of Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio today include Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from Newmarket, Indiana, and Mike Zuzolo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. On the phone line with us, Daryl Good, ag economist from the University of Illinois. Daryl, thanks for taking time with us today.
My pleasure, Todd.
Tell me how you viewed the last couple of reports from the United States Department of Agriculture and what demand and supply might look like as we move through the rest of this marketing year?
Well, Todd, I think the most interest is still in the corn market and the balance sheet there. And, of course, USDA's projection that we would begin to cut corn feeding and move more towards wheat feeding, I think, was the real statement in the last report. And, I continue to view that as more of a statement of what we need to do rather than being confident that that's what we're actually going to be able to accomplish.
Well, Darrell, have we done any rationing at all then in what you're seeing?
I see very little rationing at this point. We continue to see export sales well above the level of a year ago and continuing at a weekly pace that far exceeds what we need to sell to reach the USDA projection. Ethanol continues to be extremely cheap relative to gasoline, about a 70-cent discount. We're running ethanol production about 7% higher than a year ago. For the latest week, we're running at a pace that would put us 50 million bushels over the latest USDA projection of 5 billion bushels. I think we are feeding a little more wheat. The quantities are not large. They're mainly in the poultry industry, and it's mainly poor quality, obviously old crop wheat that's being fed. So I just think when you look at the magnitude of the cut in corn feeding that we need, I'm not sure that we really started that seriously. If you take the numbers at face value, feed use of corn first half of the year was 260 million bushels larger than a year ago. Feed use in the last half of the year needs to be 250 million bushels smaller than a year ago. That's a huge increase in wheat feeding. I'm not sure we can do that.
Well, Darrell, if we haven't rationed yet, two-part question. Number one, are the highs in, or do we need to make a new high? And if we do need to make a new high, what price of July corn will it take to start rationing?
Well, we'll have to kind of let the numbers tell us. And that's always the difficulty with what I do is when you look at the numbers, there's a lag there. So you don't see the rationing until it's already begun. So, if we continue to look at these weekly numbers and we see consumption continuing at what I consider to be too high a rate, then prices will have to go higher to do that. Where is the rationing going to take place? Not in ethanol, not in exports. It would have to happen in livestock. And so then you say, well, where's livestock prices headed? What kind of price of cattle and hogs are we going to see? What can they afford to pay for corn? At current price levels, you're looking something for summer, something over $8 corn, I think, really to discourage much feeding.
Darrell, turning to beans, do you see the same type of demand, non-demand rationing in beans? And as we get wetter, do you get more nervous about getting more beans sold?
Well, I think on soybeans, to me, the rationing began much earlier. We did see the crush levels start coming down much earlier in the marketing year. And USDA did lower their projection again in the monthly report. We're seeing prospects for a huge Brazilian crop. Seasonally, exports are already beginning to decline. So, and the other thing that we've kind of lost track of on soybeans is that on soybean oil, we're just not consuming soybean oil for biodiesel at the rate projected by USDA. We're running about a third of the level required to reach their projection. So I think they've grossly understated year-ending stocks on soybean oil. So I don't think we need further price increases in soybeans. Consumption has already slowed. If we get a few more acres one way or another, I'm not sure that's going to change the balance sheet very much for the upcoming year, since we're going to be starting with such small inventories.
Do you believe then that the price of soybeans can be maintained at a much lower level by ratio compared to corn if it makes the run to $8?
Yeah, I don't think that soybeans need to follow if, in fact, we find out we're not rationing corn and corn prices need to run up. I don't think soybeans need to follow.
Dr. Good, how are you, on the supply-demand balance sheets, how are you handling the DDGs? There's a lot of talk that that's entering the feed market or even export, but are you accounting that in any way on what you're looking at?
Yeah, you basically handle it, I think, kind of backhandedly. That is, DDG production then results in higher feed production that substitutes for whole corn. So the way you try to think about that is as we use corn to make ethanol, we produce DDGs, about a quarter of those get exported, the other three quarters get fed, and that substitutes primarily for corn, to some extent to soybean meal. And, you know, that's why when you look at feed and residual use of corn, we've dropped 1 billion bushels out of that category over the last 4 or 5 years. So you kind of have to obviously account for that when you look at feed use of corn.
Daryl, what should farmers be doing now as far as new crop sales in corn and beans?
I think obviously prices are high enough that, and they're above, particularly for corn, they're above the insurance price. So, yes, I continue to say they're attractive enough to be making some sales. I'm a little concerned that in recent years farmers have gotten a little too aggressive with pre-harvest sales, but even having said that, $6 plus corn out of the field is something you can't ignore. So I think continue to make sales in small quantities. I think there's still perhaps some upside room on new crop corn, the way this planting season is starting, and the fact that we need everything to go almost perfectly this year to get a suitable sized crop.
Daryl, on the corn yield, as I remember right, your group did a really wonderful job last year on the figuring the corn yield, and I saw where I think Informa was at 164. Where are you folks coming in this time of year right now?
You know, at this time of year, about the best you can do is calculate a trend yield on corn. There's just not enough information yet about planting dates, and don't feel too comfortable forecasting summer weather. So you say what's trend yield? We should be thinking pretty close to that, and that's where we're probably lower than most folks. We would be thinking about something around 159 bushels as a likely yield at this point.
Daryl, thanks so much for being with us today.
My pleasure, Todd.
Daryl Good, ag economist from the University of Illinois. Now time for a final word from our panelists in studio, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities.
It's a dynamic market, dynamic times. Once all said and done, the bull and the bull are both going to be right, but what degree we'll know here next summer, next fall.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
If you haven't made your phone call yet for your pledge, it's time to do it. We really believe in this station. I've been on Commodity Week since 1988, and driving over here once or twice a month and doing outlook meetings all year long. So I believe in the station. I hope you'll believe in it too.
Thank you so much. And Mike Zuzalo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting.
Holiday shortened week next week, but still would like to see the funds come back in and buy wheat and buy beans and support that corn.
Our thanks again to Mike Zuzalo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. If you haven't made that phone call yet at 217-244-9455 with your $120 pledge of financial support, do it right now. It doesn't matter whether you're listening live, whether you're listening online, we're here and waiting for you. You can do it online at willag.org as well. Just hit that red button. The important part is that you pledge your financial support. Have a great week. I'm Todd Gleason. This has been Commodity Week.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.